you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio, particularly great to be in the studio today. I had an incredibly exhausting day. I started early this morning with a blood draw and then a doctor's visit so that I would find out what the results of my PET scan were. And the results were kind of mixed. I was happy on the one hand to see that most of my tumors are gone. I do have a couple left in my groin area. And right after that, I had a bone marrow biopsy. And it's kind of primal. It is blunt instrument upon bone. So there's a little bit of pain involved in that. But I won't get the results of my bone marrow biopsy until about a week from now. But the day at the hospital was brightened in a lot of ways. I sat across from a guy while I was waiting for my test results. He and his wife, his name was Samuel. And he just radiated the love of Christ. And we got to talking, and he explained to me how, I think it was 12, 13, 14 years ago, somewhere in that vicinity, he encountered Christ and his life was utterly transformed. And now he has a 12-year-old son named Isaiah and a loving wife, and he was testifying to me about the reality of Christ in his life. He's facing a very daunting situation physically, but he's doing so with great joy and peace because he knows the Savior. Not all that long ago, I was sitting in a chair receiving a blood transfusion. And so I started talking to a guy who was sort of in his shell. The nurses had told me he was in his shell. But he came out of his shell very, very rapidly as we started talking and started testifying to me about his own relationship with the Lord. And that testimony has stuck with me to this very day. And I'll tell you why in just a second. His name, Donnie. And Donnie was telling me that that he was imprisoned. And while he was in prison, he was in the bottom bunk. And it was as though he saw a kaleidoscope of his life, many incidences in which he should have died, but he was spared. And he thought every single one of those incidences was an example of plain raw luck. And in that kaleidoscope, as though God gave him a motion picture on the underside of a bunk, he came to realize that that was not luck. That was the blessing of God that had preserved him. And he told me how he began weeping like a baby. And he too had a life-changing, dramatic encounter with the Lord. Yeah, and I was thinking about Donnie today because as I was having the bone marrow biopsy, I have to get my mind in a different place. There's a certain amount of pain, as I said, associated with it. And so I simply travel off to another place in my mind. And in my mind, in this particular occasion, I traveled off to Donnie's room because he's having a bone marrow transplant as we speak. And we talked today on the phone. We have exchanged phone numbers and have been encouraging one another. But we talked today on the phone. And so when I was having my own biopsy, my mind was in his room as I was praying for him. And soon enough, the whole biopsy and everything that was associated with it was over. So it's a wonderful example of God's grace. The reality of God in the life of Donnie is so evident as he speaks about how he is highly favored by the Lord and how he is at complete peace with his circumstances, even though now he's gone through two bone marrow transplants. I mean, unbelievable what he's gone through, and yet he just exudes peace and joy and trust in the Lord. I also want to mention that I was reading the newspaper before I went into the hospital this morning, and of course there was the story about Tom Petty in USA Today. They have almost a whole page of quotables from Tom Petty, who died Monday. He was born the same year that I was born, 1950. And he famously told USA Today that religions caused almost every war that's gone down. And perhaps some of you have heard that kind of sentiment expressed. And I would like to say that though he was a great artist, he could not have been more mistaken on this point. To say that religion is the root cause of the great atrocities of human history is popular today, but it is patently false. In reality, more people died as a result of secularist ideologies in the last century alone than have died in all the religiously motivated conflicts of Western history. Now, that sounds like hyperbole, but think with me for a moment. Think with me back to the Nazi philosophy that Jews were subhuman and Aryans were supermen. That led to the extermination of millions and millions and millions of Jews and many others as well. And far from being religiously motivated, Hitler's final solution to the Jewish problem was grounded in the naturalistic philosophy of survival of the fittest. You know, the whole idea that if you allow the unfit to exist, they will infect the gene pool with their unfit genes, and that will retard evolution. In fact, let me say this. Hitler overtly distanced himself from the historic Christian faith. He famously said Christianity is a rebellion against natural law. It is a protest against nature. But there are many other examples that could be given. I think of the inherently atheistic utopian philosophy of communism. And why does that come to mind? Well, it eclipsed even the carnage of Hitler's Germany. Karl Marx, he saw in philosophical naturalism, he saw the scientific, the sociological support for an economic experiment that has led to the mass murder of multiplied millions of people worldwide. Or think Mao. I think about him all the time, especially when I go to China and see huge portraits of Mao there. He was, of course, a communist dictator. And he accounted for the deaths of at least 65 million people. And he had this idea of a great leap forward. Well, it was a great plunge to death for millions and millions and millions of people. And then you see the USSR under Stalin, where 20 to 30 million were murdered as a result of agrarian collectivization and, of course, the Great Purge. I was just in Cambodia last year, and I saw the death camps there, the killing fields, where 2 million Cambodians, nearly a quarter of the nation's population, were massacred by Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge. A death toll resulting, again, from secular ideology, in this case, the ideology of communism, which created a horror beyond comprehension. And there's more. Think, for example, about modern secularism, which has led to even more ghastly consequences. You know, I think for a moment of people talking on the news today about pure evil. And what is ironic is many of the people that are talking about pure evil are materialists. And in the materialist worldview, there is no such thing as evil. There is no such thing as right or wrong, good or bad. You say, well, that sounds like hyperbole as well. But I have quoted on the Bible Answer Man broadcast Alex Rosenberg, a professor who is impacting the lives of many, many students, who wrote The Atheist Guide to Reality, who is the R. Taylor Cole Professor and Chair of the Philosophy Department at Duke University. He's the co-director of the Duke Center for the Philosophy of Biology. I know about him because he lives in North Carolina. But I also know about him because he wrote The Atheist Guide to Reality, and in that book, he tells us precisely what he teaches his students. Is there a God? No. What is the nature of reality? What physics says it is? What is the difference between right and wrong, good and bad? There is no moral difference between them. Then why should I be moral? Because it makes you feel better than being immoral. Anything is permissible. Anything goes. And history has no meaning or purpose. It's simply full of sound and fury. It signifies nothing. So you think about modern secularism, materialism, and the consequences for society as kids are being taught this in prestigious universities. And though not formally organized under a deranged dictator, this invisible Holocaust, which is oftentimes well marginalized in our culture, I'm talking about abortion. You think about the fact that almost 3,000 helpless victims, that's nearly the total casualties of 9/11, die every single day in the U.S. alone. The modern bioethical Holocaust, which includes abortion, has eclipsed the carnage of Nazism and communism combined. And even apart from the ongoing genocide of the unborn, over 100 million people died at the hands of secularist regimes during the 20th century. And I think we're trying to eclipse that mark in the 21st. Coupled with the recognition of innumerable humanitarian aid efforts that are motivated by religious commitments, those statistics should motivate secularists towards humble introspection rather than the haughty inculpation of religion. These irresponsible accusations, and certainly while he was alive, Tom Petty would make them with respect to religion, saying religion caused almost every war that's gone down. When people say such things, we ought to have an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and we ought to be able to communicate that answer with gentleness and with respect. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, the number 888-ASK-HANK numerically is 888-275-4265. Give us a call.
For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors, Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent scholarly research has been significantly more open toward Jesus' healing the sick, his empty tomb, and even his post-resurrection appearances. So why have these same critics not fallen to their knees and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Other topics include the Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, the Cohen brothers and the riddle of existence, defending the biblical view of human sexuality using an effective Socratic question approach, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And Christian Research Institute is still the only place you can get Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, and that will be true up until October 10th, and then it will be available in bookstores everywhere. You can also then order from Amazon, but when you get it from the Christian Research Institute, 100% of the proceeds go to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, when you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of Muslim to you, a family member, or a friend. The book is also available in audiobook form, so check that out on the web at equip.org. And yesterday I was talking about The Last Christians by Andreas Knupp, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East. It is an absolutely stunning book. Andreas Knupp is a German Christian, and he went to the epicenter of where the genocide is taking place. And when you read this book, you simply can't put it down. It will cause you to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are among the last Christians there. This was the place where Christianity was birthed. Now Christianity is being eradicated, and there is nary a peep in pulpits across the land. And we certainly don't hear a whole lot about this from the news media, even conservative news media sources. And what we do hear from these media sources is often very, very much slanted in the favor of the narrative that Islam is essentially a religion of peace and tolerance. In reality, Islamic terrorist attacks, I mean, think 9/11. I mean, that's the most vivid memory that comes to all of our minds. They're not unlikely. They've multiplied over the last decade and a half. And we shouldn't suppose that Muslim terrorists perpetrating these attacks have descended into some kind of madness. In fact, it's madness to suppose such a thing. They believe that what they are doing is just and righteous and is approved of by their God. For a Muslim jihadist, jihada is an incumbent religious duty. It's enshrined in the Quran, in the traditions, and this as a divine institution. And it's enjoined especially for the purpose of advancing Islam and of repelling evil for Muslims. That's the true narrative coming from Muslim sources. I think we often forget that Muhammad, the itinerant Meccan preacher, converted fewer than 200 people by means of the word. Conversely, Muhammad, the Medinan warlord, conscripted more than 100,000 by means of the sword. And in the 14 centuries that followed his death, Islamic warfare against the kafirs, the unbelievers, has claimed the lives of at least a quarter of a billion non-Muslims. This is not Muslim-on-Muslim warfare. This is a quarter of a billion non-Muslims, many of whom were followers of Jesus Christ. There is simply no mistaking the centrality of violent jihad in Sharia. When a devotee of Muhammad asked, "What is the best deed?" Muhammad said, "To believe in Allah and his apostle." And the questioner probed deeper and said, "What is the next in goodness?" And Muhammad said, "To participate in jihad, in religious fighting in Allah's cause." There are some that have calculated the thousands and thousands of verses, hadiths, Sharia laws, Muslim scriptures commanding and encouraging killing, violence, war, annihilation, corporal punishment, and the list goes on, hatred, boycott, humiliation, subjugation aimed mainly against non-Muslims. And we can say with certainty that thousands of such violent jihadist injunctions can be found in the most authoritative Muslim sources. In essence, and I've mentioned this many times in the broadcast, the world according to Sharia is divided into two domains. It's the House of Islam, Dar al-Islam, and the House of War, Dar al-Harb. In other words, those who already live under Sharia and those who are predestined to Sharia subjugation. And that's not radical Islam. It's just plain run-of-the-mill Islam. You look at the dictionary of Islam, and you'll see that it divides jihad, or defines jihad, from the Arabic jihada, meaning struggle or striving. It defines it as a religious war with those who are unbelievers in the mission of Allah. Again, this is why I wrote the book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And I did so in such a way that you can get your arms around this subject. It's a big subject, but we need to understand it because we live in a time of terrorism, and people don't want to even acknowledge terrorism when it hits. Oftentimes, they want to look for every other excuse first, as opposed to Islamic terrorism. But the reality is, if you've got a good memory, think back over the last decade and a half, and you can think of all kinds of jihadist attacks that took place, not just in Europe, but right here in America. Think Orlando, or think California. So we need to get our arms wrapped around this subject. The narrative is that it's just a religion. But it's not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. It is a socio-economic, political juggernaut that rides on the rails of Sharia. And as I've said many times, Sharia is state and state is Sharia. There is no separation. So all true Muslims are addicted to Sharia. That's their narcotic of choice. But there's an undertow as well. That undertow is what is happening in places like Germany, where you have migration without assimilation. Now, a lot of people say, when you talk about migration without assimilation and define it as a python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion, that's unchristian. But let me tell you, I had a long conversation with the author, Andreas Knopp, who wrote the book, The Last Christians, which is available for those who support the ministry all this month. And he is a German working with refugees, bringing the gospel to refugees, but recognizing that Germany is facing a real plight, a plight of immigrants that will not assimilate into a Western culture. And the reason they won't is because they adhere to Sharia. And sometimes we get this idea, at least if you read the newspaper or you listen to news reports, that the Quran is noble and holy, at least on par with the Bible, when in reality, nothing could be farther from the truth. Just today, I was listening to an imam, and this in South Carolina, so not all that far from where we are, as I'm speaking to you right now. He was talking about women essentially being the property of men. And he was elucidating this subject with a great deal of passion. And as he did, he kept pointing back to the fact that these were not his own thoughts. These were not his words. This was not his conjecture. This is what the Quran teaches. And therefore, rather than saying we need another imam because this imam is spouting off things that simply do not cohere with Western culture, he was pointing out, look, you don't need another imam. You need to get back to the Quran. You need to start reading the Quran and see what it says. And then you start to realize you can beat a woman to bring her back into subjection. You can divorce a woman with relative ease. You know, you can text her three times and divorce her, or put a little sticky on the refrigerator. Say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you three times. Not only that, but you can marry many women. I'm not just talking about two or three. You can have up to four wives. It's one of the reasons Islam is growing so fast. So we have to understand that there is a huge difference between Christianity, which is being denigrated in Western cultures, and Islam, which is a plague on those who buy into its true tenets, as communicated through the Ahadith, which are considered Sahih, and the Quran itself. The practices of Muhammad, emulated today, are simply devastating, not only with respect to war and Western civilization, but with respect to women. Be right back with the quote of the day and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time, yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I do want to mention that tomorrow we'll see the advent. In fact, it might even be up today, my Hank Unplugged podcast with Andreas Knupp. Again, his book, The Last Christians, is must reading. You can find it on the web. It is available for those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. The interview that I did with him is simply scintillating. I was moved by what he had to say. I was moved by experiences as much as I was moved by reading his book. So if you don't have The Last Christians, you might want to add it to your shopping list. It is available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And do remember, Hank Unplugged, the podcast, is a relatively new, although I've probably done somewhere around 20 podcasts so far. You go to iTunes and leave a review of the podcast, share them with others, and help this become a dominant force in the religion space with respect to podcasts. The quote of the day, I want to give just a little backdrop to it. The quote of the day has to do with something that we'll put up on the web, but it has to do with jihad, which means to war against non-Muslims. It is its etymology is derived from the word mujahada, which signifies warfare to establish the religion. And while Sharia acknowledges that the greater jihad is spiritual warfare against the lower self, most of Sharia law is devoted to prescribing what it means to wage war against non-Muslims. That's quite a mouthful. So let us give you the quote of the day and then some further contextualization. The quote of the day is as follows. The scriptural basis for jihad, prior to scholarly consensus, is such Quranic verses as, fighting is prescribed for you. Slay them wherever you find them. Fight the idolaters utterly. As well as hadith, as the one related by Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet Allah said, I have been commanded to fight people until they testify, and there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and perform the prayer and pay zakat. If they say it, they have saved their blood and possessions from me, except for the rights of Islam over them. And their final reckoning is with Allah and the hadith reported by Muslim. To go forth in the morning or evening to fight in the path of Allah is better than the whole world and everything in it. Now, where does that come from? The quote of the day comes from, verbatim comes from, Reliance of the Traveler. This is a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. It's endorsed by top modern-day Islamic scholars. It's certified by the Sunni Muslim oldest and most prestigious institution of higher Islamic learning in the world, established in Cairo. It's the Cairo University. Moreover, since Sharia ordinances find their origin in the Quran and the Sunnah, in the words of Allah and the life and practice of Muhammad, they are not subject to change. They are not subject to alteration over time. The quote of the day, again, will be up on the web in a short period of time. So you can go to equip.org and see this quote and recall as you read it, that this comes from Reliance of the Traveler, a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. And essentially what you see here in the quote of the day is that there are three decisions that a kafir can make, an infidel can make. He can say the shahada, which means that he's saying that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his apostle, and as such become a Muslim. And if you want to become a Muslim, it doesn't take much except that. And then you adhere to the five pillars of Islam, which also are appended by a sixth, which is you not only have the shahada, but you have the jihada, fighting in the cause of Allah. But you can say the shahada, become a Muslim, or you can succumb to the sword, or you can pay the zakat, the jizya, the poll tax. And then you face dimnitude as Christians in Saudi Arabia or Iran or other places in the world, Pakistan, Somalia. They are dhimmis. They are second-class citizens, and they are paying a fee so that they will not be harmed. It's sort of a gangster protection racket. I do want to get to some Facebook questions. I've not done that for a while. Sunil has a question. In fact, she has two questions. Let me see what they are. The first one is, will Christ reveal further truth after his second coming? And does he speak outside the Bible? Kind of tricky questions. I was asked these questions, says Sunil, by a friend. Please do help me. Well, interestingly enough, answer to those questions, first of all, is there going to be further truth at the second coming of Christ? And the answer is there's a difference between knowing Christ through faith and experiencing him in the flesh. And we will experience Christ in the flesh. That is something we can look forward to because Christ is forever in flesh. And when he appears a second time, we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then we will experience him as we learn and grow and develop, albeit without error. So Sunil's question about will we have further truth in the future after the second coming of Jesus Christ, the answer is absolutely we will. You know, John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth has passed away, and there's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then he goes on to talk about, in that time, God himself will live with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, as we forever grow in our knowledge of the one who saved us by his grace, and of course, the beauty of the created handiwork that he allows us to live within. In terms of Sunil's second question, what was that again? Does he speak outside the Bible? Well, the answer to that is God makes himself known in many ways. He makes himself known through his handiwork. And does he speak? Absolutely. In fact, David in the Psalms actually uses that kind of motif, that motif of speaking, when he says, the heavens declare, as though they're speaking. They declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim, again, as though speaking, the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. They're speaking to us. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So God speaks through his creation. And of course, this is not only something that we find in the Old Testament, it is something that we find in the New Testament as well. Paul says, what may be known about God is plain because God has made it plain, for since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen. They're understood from what has been made, and therefore we are without excuse. So God speaks through his creative handiwork. But there's more. He has inscribed a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness, and therefore we can say he speaks and we can hear his voice because what is inscribed on our own DNA. And of course, Paul addresses this as well when he says, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirement of the law is written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times even defending them. If we respond to the light we have, God will continually speak to us and give us more light. I love the example of Peter being sent to Cornelius in Acts 10. God spoke to Peter through a vision, and as a result of that, Peter spoke to Cornelius about what God had shown him. And even today, God can speak to individuals through dreams and visions. So yes, God does speak today, but he has primarily spoken to us through the coming of Christ, the Word made flesh, and the Word which he has given to us, which we can trust with our entire being. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I was going to go to the phone lines. Sorry, David. I know you're first up in Sarasota, Florida. Maybe you can give me a call tomorrow or sometime soon. I'm simply out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But do remember, the answers that I give you are answers, whether they're Facebook questions or they come in through the web or through Twitter or on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Many of these questions I answer in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Again, my thanks for those who have been praying for me. Today was a rough day for me as I had a bone marrow biopsy, but God has given me the grace. To God be the glory. The grace to continue on with strength. That is his provision. So I'm thanking you for your provision, your prayers. We'll see you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.